In our message today, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. We're going to stay primarily in this passage of Scripture. There will be at one point in the message that I will go to one other location in the book of James. But if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew 25, we'll be looking at verses 31 through 46. Now we will be going through this systematically, as it were, verse by verse. And so it might be beneficial if you just kept your Bible open, if you have a physical Bible or if you have electronic. And you can kind of follow along as we go section by section in these verses. We're going to pull out some truths this morning that you may have already been aware of. But there are times that others might challenge you and you might begin to question. Or you might have not been aware of these things before. But in these passages of Scripture, we're coming into the time when Jesus is preparing for his crucifixion. And as we know, or may be aware, that Jesus was crucified, he died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. So we call those in today's Good Friday, and then he rose on Easter morning, Sunday. But we see, as Jesus is talking with the disciples and sharing with those that are around them, he's starting to bring together and share explanations on some doctrinal things, and he makes some things clear. And this morning, we want to make sure that we're clear of a couple things on what's going on. So let's turn, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I think rather than read it all in total, I'm going to probably break it into sections, unless the Lord leads otherwise. So I appreciate how Corinne follows me as I preach, with putting things on the screen. So Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. That's our first section. What truths? Maybe not some of these things I'm going to call out the truths. I might not call out everything that's in the passage, but we want to pull some things out. It says in verse 1, when the Son of Man, that refers to Jesus, he refers to himself at times as the Son of Man, comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Very simply, Son of Man is Jesus when he comes. When he comes, Jesus is coming again. And he will sit on the throne. Verse 32 tells us all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. All the nations will be brought to be judged. You might be saying, Pastor, it does not say judge there. But he's going to divide them from sheep and goats. The sheep will go to his right, goats to his left. We know in Scripture Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." His followers, Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. And so it's his sheep. Some of you would, I'm your pastor. Pastor comes from the word shepherd. I am an under-shepherd. I have responsibility for this flock. But he is the great shepherd. So he says he will separate the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And we'll read and come to the understanding as we read. The followers of Jesus are the sheep. The goats are not followers. Or the sheep are the righteous. So Jesus is coming and will judge everyone. It's one of our truths. Jesus is coming and will judge everyone. Simple. It seems to be simple here. Some will try to confuse you and twist the words. And they'll use other parts of Scripture, but this one seems to be fairly clear. And as we look then, and we'll move to the next section, verse 34 through 36. Then the king, this is still Jesus, will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the king and the reason we say the king, and Jesus is the king, is before he said the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is going to separate the right from the left. The king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The sheep will inherit a kingdom. And that kingdom was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. In a moment, we'll see the contrast of another location. But it was prepared for them. The sheep will inherit the kingdom. In a loose sense, we might consider that heaven. Jesus talks about, "Lo, I go and prepare a place for you. And when we looked at that passage of Scripture, you see that it said that these individuals, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." They did something in this world, in this physical world, that Jesus expects them to do. Some would isolate spiritual from physical. But there is something that Jesus expected them to do in this physical world. It's something that characteristics of those that he chose and divided into sheep. So remember that. Jesus is coming and will judge everyone. The sheep will inherit the kingdom. And there's something in this physical world that Jesus expects you to do. There's requirements related to what you do. It's not just the fact that you went to an altar or found a place of prayer and asked Jesus into your life and asked for forgiveness. There are expectations that you do in this physical world. And verse 37 through 40 is our next section. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? They did something in this physical world, as we said, that Jesus expects. But let's go to verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. In Jesus' eyes, your treatment of others is a reflection of your love of Jesus. He looks at that, and the way that you treat others is how you are treating him. So I don't think it's that great a leap to say the way you treat others is a reflection of how of your love for him. So remember, Jesus is coming and will judge everyone. His sheep, those following him, will inherit the kingdom prepared for them. That's 1 and 2. 3, his sheep are characterized by what they did in this physical world that Jesus expects or expected. And in Jesus' eyes, your treatment of others is a reflection of your treatment of Jesus. Basically, then it makes sense then how we treat others is a reflection of our love for Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus. So let's move on to verse 41. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The goats on the left go into everlasting fire. I don't really like telling you that. But I don't get to pick and choose. And you do not get to pick and choose the parts that you like from God's Word. It says this everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. Remember, the other place, this is the place that's prepared for you. But their everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. But you can call it what you want. And some people might look at the word hell in the Bible and say, well, hell doesn't exist. They might say, well, that actually means under the ground. Or that might mean in the earth. Or that might be a particular valley. So I don't know that it matters what you call it. But there is a place of everlasting fire. You can call that hell. but it exists. That's not the enjoyable part that I would want to tell you. I'm not excited about the fact that hell exists. But we don't get to pick. You can't be a follower of God's word and see what Jesus said and ignore certain parts. And if there is not a place, or if there's no fear of a place, then why did Jesus come and die? Some might say, well, everyone's forgiven. That's not what this says. It says there's goats. Those that are not followers of Jesus, we know that we need the blood of Jesus applied, but there are things in this earth, this physical earth, that God expects us to do. It's a reflection of our relationship with Jesus. There is a hell. You don't have to like it. You can theorize around it. But there's a place of everlasting fire. Jesus came for us. He died as we celebrate Easter so that we can avoid that. There is a place of everlasting fire. Verses 42 through 45. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. There is something in this physical world that God expects us to do. And then it is implied in the scripture that if they would have known it was the Lord, that maybe they would have done it. But Jesus says, if you have not done it unto me, unto them, you have not done it unto me. We will be judged by what we do and don't do. So don't be fooled by a statement as I got saved and so now I am set. Remember, we preached to you about him saying, oh Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. But are you doing what God expects you to do in this physical world? In the book of James, and we're not going to go there now, but we will in a moment. Faith without works is dead. Our relationship with Jesus should result in an improved behavior and how we relate to other people. Verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There are two paths. He's going to divide the whole world into sheep and goats. There are two paths. Eternal life and the kingdom prepared, or everlasting punishment in fire. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. Let us review. Jesus is coming and will judge everyone. His sheep will inherit the kingdom prepared for them. His sheep are characterized by doing what they did in this physical world towards others. Your treatment of others is a reflection of your love of Jesus. There is a place of everlasting fire. Those that do not do what Jesus expects will go to the place of everlasting fire. We will be judged by what we do and don't do for others. Faith without works is dead. Now look at James 3:17. James 3:17. In this passage of James, we will find several things where he explains this concept of faith and works. You do not go through ceremonies, through catechisms, through activities to make you worthy to get into heaven. You're not good enough. Through the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness of our sins. But when we have the forgiveness of our sins, it should be reflected in how we behave and how we treat those in need, how we treat others. In James 3:17, and I think I'm in the wrong scripture. It's 2:17. James 2:17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Faith without works is dead. We should act like we are Christians. We should act like we're followers of Jesus. It should reflect in our daily life. And then our other final point in our list of facts. There's two paths: everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, eternal life, kingdom prepared. For we know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. But we need to continue to be obedient to God, because if we're not, if it's not reflected, it says he's going to judge. So this concept of Once I get saved, I can do whatever I want. And it's okay. That's not what this says. There's an expectation on your behavior in this physical world. Now, laying these biblical facts before you, you are now responsible for your response to what the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you. You're not responsible for what I've said and respond to it. What I said doesn't really matter. But while I've been preaching, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you into your heart, that you are responsible to respond to. Things that I don't know about. Behaviors I may not know about. Some might say, Pastor, have you been snooping on me? Have you been checking on me? Because things are coming to your mind. That's the Holy Spirit. Some things might be under the blood and you ask Jesus for forgiveness of them, but it might be that he's saying, now I want you to go and start being and doing some new things. He's not asking you maybe to be like someone you think you should be like. He's asking you to be like who he wants you to be like. As you mature your relationship with Jesus. But if you are not changing the way you behave, if you have not truly repented, repented means to change. When the Holy Spirit says, stop doing that, and you don't stop, that's sin. When the Holy Spirit says, do that, and you do not do that, that is sin. We have read that there are physical expectations of what you do and don't do in this world. It's not just about a spiritual relationship with Jesus. It should manifold itself in how you relate to other people, in actions that you physically do. Don't narrow it down to, I give this and I do that. You should care about people and do something. Actually do something. Historically, some might teach, and they might even today, that there is this separation between the spiritual and the physical. If I'm okay spiritually, I don't have to worry about what I do physically. That is not the case, according to Scripture. So you are responsible to respond to the Holy Spirit. The question becomes, what is your response? Let's be standing together. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Sometimes we don't like parts that we read. I'm not excited that there is an eternal place of fire, an everlasting fire. I'm not excited that some that don't choose you, that those that don't choose you will end up there. That does not make me happy. But your word is your word. And as each one here listened to your word and the Holy Spirit went out and spoke to them, I do not know what you have told them. But I do know that we need to each be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I do know that we each need to have the blood of Jesus applied. Lord, we are thankful for your shed blood. We're thankful that you rose from the dead. We're thankful that we can have forgiveness of our sins, but we're also thankful that you can help us change our hearts and enable us to, in this physical world, act and behave in a way that is pleasing to you, so that we can be part of the sheep when you come. That we can be part of the group on your right hand that you send to the kingdom prepared. But Lord, woe to us if we're outside and we're part of the goats. Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict those that hear this message. May they find a place of prayer. And if they don't know you, say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for the bad that I've done. Help me to do that which is right. Help me to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for me. And thank you for saving me. May they pray that prayer, Lord. And for those that are a Christian, maybe they be encouraged. They've prayed that prayer in the past. May they continue in their walk with you. And may they recognize that faith without works is dead. And there is an expectation, Lord, that they are obedient, that they actually do what you ask them to do. In this physical world, they just don't think about it. But when you tell them to do, they do. Help us to have the attitude of obedience before you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.